Welcome, Liz. I'm so excited to have you on our podcast today. Liz and I met when we were both working at Meta, and I had noticed that Liz had started her own business, and I contacted her because she's in coaching and I wanted to know about her experiences. And I just think Liz is an overall really interesting person, and I thought she would be great to have on the podcast. So welcome, Liz.
Thank you so much, Stacey. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited. So tell me a little bit about you, your background, and how you gravitated towards coaching.
Yeah. So I'm a social scientist by training, and my whole career has been in research. I've done market research. I've done user research, everything about people and how they use products and how they interpret things, and started off in working with actual like granola bars and Kleenex. And that was really interesting back in the day, and then pivoted to digital usage of apps and websites. And the common thread through my whole career has been a fascination with people, because at my heart, I'm a psychologist, social scientist. And so just observing people, regardless of what they're doing, has been the fascination. And then as my career progressed and I became a leader of teams, then the fascination became the people who were working for me. And more interested in how to coach them and how to develop them and how to help them be their best selves and be happiest at work. So that was sort of the progression. And then I just got to a milestone birthday. I won't say which one.
25. And,
yeah, 28, 20, 30. And at that time, I kind of looked at my life and coached myself to say, what do I really want for my next phase of life? And the part of my job that was always the one that really tugged at my heartstrings and I was really passionate about was coaching people and the interactions with the team, and not so much the corporate administrative and cultural challenges. And so that was what drove my pivot, really. I wanted to do more of what I loved and less of what I didn't enjoy.
That's awesome. So it was just like the right time at the right moment for this transition to happen. Because you were doing both things at a certain point. Like you were still like in corporate, and you were also side hustling with the your Platypus coaching company. So
yes.
What was that like a little bit? Tell me a little bit about doing both those things. And then
it was, it's a great question. It was not ideal for me. Like, I would rather go deep and have focus on one area than try to be juggling different things. And so if I was doing, if I was building Platypus, then I wasn't focused on the job as much. And if I was focused on the job, I was feeling like I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing to build the business. And so there just came a time where I really had to decide, like, which way am I going to go? Am I going to go all in on this? It's just kind of the nature of my personality. I wanted to just be focused.
I love that. So one of my favorite things to ask people is like, tell me what you absolutely love about what you're doing right now.
Oh my gosh. Oh, everything. I love the people that I've met through the certification program. It's a year-long certification program that is and I'm at the end of it now. And it's almost like, it's really like getting a master's degree. And it's like you're back in school and you're meeting peers and colleagues and co-students. And the people in the coaching community that I have met are some of the most amazing, incredible, interesting, warm people I've met through my whole professional life. And so this community that I'm now a part of has just so fills my really fills my soul with amazing people. And I love coaching my clients. I love my clients, and I want them to succeed and be happy and find joy and take a path that serves them and their values. And so watching them transform, watching them have shifts and changes in the way they perceive their lives and themselves is just incredibly gratifying.
That's so cool. So I know you've been going through this for about a year. So has Platypus also been active for about a year? I'm not sure how long actually you've been doing Platypus.
No, Platypus has been active for about 6 months.
Okay. And you already have a background in the psychology of people. Like what is your background specifically and what is your master's?
Yeah, I have a background in both psychology and marketing and business. And so my interest has always been kind of the intersection between the way people think and view products and then how to compel them to be interested in your particular product. So
talking about products, the new product is, you know, Platypus. So tell me about, as you've been doing this for about 6 months and the fact that you've been working with people, I mean, and you have a background in psychology, like we both do. So tell me about like what happens in your experiences and what trends have you seen within your clients that aren't necessarily obvious or something that you were taught to look for, but are just things that you've noticed coming up in your own practice with your clients that are surprising to you, but are also things that you're diving into a little bit deeper when you're working with them.
Yeah. So what's been the biggest revelation for me and a theme and a string that I'm seeing across, and I have clients that are so diverse, everything from, you know, without saying anything personal, everything from a client who is a, you know, individual businesswoman struggling with like how to better manage their time versus a client who is fairly high up in leadership in corporate trying to figure out is corporate the right thing for them going forward. And the thing that is true across all of them, executives, small business owners, people who are midway in their career, is imposter syndrome. This sense of I'm not good enough. I'm a fake. I'm a fraud. This lack of confidence that we've all experienced. And it is just universal. It's this like feeling that, you know, I think unless someone is truly like a sociopath, that feeling of being unworthy, not enough, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this, is just universal, no matter how high up the ladder someone is.
That's so cool. So like, I remember when I first started at Meta, they had this whole like onboarding process and where we talked about imposter syndrome. And I remember feeling like that at first. And then it was like, everybody feels this way. I'm not even going to worry about it anymore. Like we're all like just putting our best foot forward and like doing the best that we can. And if we all feel like this, like I'm not going to worry about it. So I found that to be really interesting when I started there and that like that conversation came up and it like actually made me feel really a lot more comfortable like in my own skin at that company, which I thought was great because I wasn't really intimidated when I started. And the funny thing about like, you know, you're coaching a lot of people and like building a business. I think I just got to a place where I'm like, I don't know what I don't know and I'm going to mess up. And this is also my second business. So I'm like, I'm going to fail. Like there's going to be things that I just fall flat on my face with. And I've just accepted that. And I just know I don't have all the answers, but I know other people will. So like, it's interesting. Like at first you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? This is crazy. And then you get to a point where I think you're just like, okay, I'm good with it. Like, so do your clients, like as you're working with them and like coaching them, do they at some point come to that same kind of similar conclusion? Like, okay, I've got this thing, but now I'm like a little more comfortable in my skin. Have you ever seen that?
Yes. So what I do notice is that they may not overcome completely that inner doubt that we all have.
Yeah.
But what my clients really learn to do, and one of the biggest, most transformative factors of coaching, is that they learn to recognize that saboteur voice within them. So we call them in coaching, we call them sort of your allies and your saboteurs. And we all have, I don't know if you've seen the movie Inside Out, but it's like all the voices in your head. Well, all people have that. That's real. And so you have ones that are what I call the saboteurs because they are kind of holding you back and they are more negative voices. Now they are there for a purpose, which is a protective device, sort of like a defense mechanism. But you also have these ally voices that are very uplifting and very supportive. And I think one of the biggest transformations that happens in coaching is you learn to name and recognize, oh, that's my imposter syndrome voice. I hear you. Go away. voice because I'm going to listen to my supporter, you know, power queen voice that's telling me I can do this and I am enough and I can, I'm here because I belong here.
So in that genre of like them realizing their thoughts and like you getting them to that space, like, is there like something that they physically do or, you know, like when they're talking to you, is there something they physically, not physically, but they verbalize that kind of clues you into some of the things that are going on behind the scenes and like to dig deeper into as you're like coaching them?
Yeah. So we start off by kind of naming the saboteurs and really we use a lot of embodiment and visualization. And so we really try to I try to get my clients really in touch with who that saboteur is. You know, what is the image even of that saboteur that comes to mind? Is it someone from their childhood? Is it a monster? Is it a wicked witch? You know, what is the visualization that they have in their head? And once they come up with that, they name that. Mm-hmm. And then as we're coaching, they will offer during the coaching, oh, I hear that's the gremlin voice talking to me. And they really do. And then they can recognize it and have a conversation back with it. And so that enables us to say, you know, to then go deeper and say, you know, what, how is that voice serving you? Like, is there wisdom in that voice that can serve you and benefit you? And if so, let's take that wisdom away. And then learn to put it in a box when we don't want to listen to that voice.
So with the negative stuff, like how do you navigate through that with them? Like how do you use your training to pull out those pieces? How do you see it when you're talking to them, I guess is the best question. And we've talked about this as being a trend in your industry, or like just maybe not your industry, but specifically with the people who gravitate towards you that you're coaching. And how, when you start to directionally move your client in that direction, how does that resonate for them?
Yeah. So I think what you're getting at is sort of like, what are the non-quantitative and intrinsic tells or data points in the clients? Yeah. And there are many and they are nuanced. For example, and I think it's impossible to name them all, but for example, things that people do when they are incongruous between the behavior they're exhibiting and the words they're saying. For example, someone could be saying, I'm really bad at this thing. This is so hard. I'm never going to be able to do this. And they're chuckling. And you know, then I'm like, why are, you know, you're telling me something that's really challenging and scary and you're laughing, like what's there for you? Or they physically may move back away from the camera. They physically may get small in the camera. They physically may turn away from the camera. So there's this, you know, in coaching, there's this, what we call level 3 listening. And it's where you're listening to everything that's not being said. You are listening to their facial expressions, their body, how they're holding their shoulders, how big or small they are, forward, backward. And every single one of those is like you are speaking, but you are not speaking with words. And it is so important for in coaching to recognize that, because those are the transformational nuggets that the client themselves is not even aware of. And so that is where a coach becomes your most powerful tool, where they are saying to you like, wow, you just said that thing and you got really small in the camera. What is going on there?
Right. So once you start to pick up on those cues, those like visceral responses, how do you get them to like dive deep enough to move through that experience without, you know, you just saying, hey, this thing just happened. When I asked you this, this happened. So I think we should work on this. How do you do it without them? Like, cause in coaching, you're really not supposed to tell people what to do. I'm assuming like you're supposed to like let them bring it into themselves and like learn from the pain, like learn from a little bit of an awkward situation. Right.
Yeah.
So how do you do that without telling them like you, it's obvious to you, right? Like, so how do you work through that? Tell me about that process.
Yeah. So I will use embodiment and visualization. I will say to them, you know, you got really small, what's here for you right now? What are you feeling right now in your body as you're telling me this and you're getting small in the camera? Or as you're chuckling at yourself, you know, what's going on in your body? And I help them get, you know, are they feeling it in their shoulders, their gut, their throat? Lots of feelings happen here. And then we really close our eyes and we're like, take me to what is going on in your head around this feeling? You know, are you feeling like you're in, and I might offer a metaphor. We use a lot of metaphors. Like, I'm getting the sense that you are in a cave right now. You know, you're in this dark place. There's not, it's cold. And then the client may say, yes, but, yes, and, no, that's not it at all. I'm feeling this thing. And we really get in touch with, we get out of their left brain and we get into the right brain, because the right brain has access to lots of feelings and visualization and embodiment that the left brain doesn't have access to. And so then we really go there and we get into that uncomfortable place. We're like, okay, what's in the cave? You know, what's here? Yeah. Is the cave like, are there bats? Are there bears? Are there monsters? You know, what's going on in here? How does that make you feel? And we see where that takes us. And often, you know, it's amazing when you get someone into the right side of their brain where they are thinking with their whole mind, they will have often an aha moment where they're like in this cave and they're just like, wow, I just remembered a really painful conversation I had with a leader of mine, or wow, that just took me back to a fight I had with my brother when I was 7 years old. You know, that will often bring up sort of these small t trauma moments, which are often the source of where these saboteurs came from in the first place.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to compare this to Freud and like his like super ego, ego and id. So are they getting like kind of into the id and like the ego and like figuring it out? Cause the super ego is like the Woody Allen, like nervousy kind of space. And like the ego is like where we live all the time. And then the id is like the feeling space and like all of those crazy things that come up, like good and bad, like feelings are just feelings, you know, everybody has them and on different levels. So like, do you feel like that's what they're tapping into? And like, you're kind of like balancing those three things and like figuring things out in when you're right braining it?
Yeah, it's really, they're present. You know, they're very present in what's going on for them now. I mean, coaching is not like therapy, right? Therapy is you're going back in time. You're exploring like what happened back then to make you who you are now. Coaching is like, what is going on right now for you? And what do you want there to be going on in the future? And so how do we look at what your perspective is on this? You know, you're in this cave. What's your perspective on the cave? And then how do we maybe shift what you're thinking about this cave and give you another way of seeing the cave? So yeah.
I can imagine, yeah. So I can imagine like when these breakthroughs start to happen, like negative or positive, like, cause breakthroughs are breakthroughs. And I think that people affiliate like negative things with not having a breakthrough. And I don't think that's true. I think that even if it is negative, it is like a real thing. So how do you keep yourself from managing, like you could get excited or kind of like, oh, this is kind of like, this is really heavy. Like, how do you manage that without like, you know, interfering with their journey and being true to your client? How do you do that?
Yeah, we do a lot. I do a lot of self-management in coaching. Okay. You know, when I'm coaching someone, I am in their space and I am experiencing what they're experiencing and I am mirroring that and I am fully listening to them and I am not listening to my voices and my agenda. It is not about me. I am there to be in that experience with them. And so I, you know, if something's really sad, I'm going to sit with that with them and I might be very sad for them and feel tears and feel pain. Or if something's scary, I'm going to feel that with them. And I'm going to be very transparent, because one of the things I do in coaching is I notice when I'm feeling something really strong emanating from them, I will reflect that to them. I will say, I'm feeling a lot of sadness for this. You know, what's here for you around this sadness? And I use my feelings as they relate to what the client is expressing to help them bring it to the surface and be able to really get inside it and experience it and verbalize it.
Crazy. So how does it sit on you? Like, so I don't talk to people in general, like that, in that I do talk to people. I just don't, when I'm doing research, it's not, necessarily about, you know, like the emotional state of something. I tend to be researching a product in general, like we both did, but how does that sit on you or resonate, like after a deep session, where do you put that? Like if it's really happy or really sad, like where does that go for you? Because I mean, it has to be like, are you slightly empathic? Like, does it live in you a little bit and you have to like, let it go? How do you digest those things, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I process it. You know, mm-hmm. I never have one client immediately after another client. I have time. I build a cushion of time in between so that I can take a walk outside. I can, you know, if it's been something really heavy, I might have to do some, you know, walking meditation for a little while. It kind of depends. But what I try to focus on is, you know, I try to end every conversation with a client saying basically like, what have you gotten out of this conversation? And what do you want to take forward? And so most of the conversations end somewhere on, if not a positive note, then a actionable takeaway. And so usually the sessions have some sort of resolution within them. There's an arc to the coaching session so that you may go really deep into the pond and swim in the pond, but you will come out a little bit. And what I like to focus on is, what transformation have I witnessed in the client in that hour and a half, 2 hours? Transformations can be really small, and but they can appear very small. But a lot of the work of coaching goes on after coaching. Like in between the 2-3 weeks that I haven't talked to the client, all of those little tiny small cracks that have been kind of knocked in the like little cracks of light that have started to open up, they get bigger through the next couple weeks for the client. And so those transformations, I try to at the end of the session say, you know, wow, there was this transformation. I saw a shift. And that's really the purpose of coaching. The purpose of coaching is to have a shift. You know, you're stuck in something. You're stuck in a place in your career, a place in your life, and you don't want to be stuck. You want to be in a different place. And so my goal is to get you to begin to have a shift and to then over time have a transformational shift.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Sometimes when those things happen, like you have like a really deep session, do you start your next session with like recapping what happened or like asking like about their time in between? Did they feel different? Is that kind of something you guys talk about in coaching, or?
It kind of depends. Coaching is really about what's happening now, what's here right now. So I try to start with like, what's right now for you in your life? What's going on for you now? Unless there was a particular takeaway or piece of homework that the client really wanted to come back to. But I will often leave it to the client to say, you know, like some clients will start the coaching session with, I'm giving you an update of what's been going on for me in the last 3 weeks. And some will just say, you know, I had a really bad day today. I felt like I went backwards. I really struggled with this thing. And then we start from there.
It must be so much different to like, because you were a leader at Meta, you were one of the managers, and like, I'm sure you've been in management for years and years and years. So it must be very different to have like conversations that are like, I don't think as an employee, I would have ever told my manager, I failed today. Like today was like a really bad day for me. So I know we didn't talk about this before, but like, how does that translate? Because I feel like that's such a different open conversation that you can have with someone that you couldn't have like 2 years ago, because no one's going to tell you, hey, this was a terrible day and this was like what's going on, because you're required to like review them at the end of the year and talk about their bonus structure. So what is that more organic, like just honest conversation like for you?
It is so much more authentic. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I decided to graduate from corporate. When you are coaching someone in a corporate environment, of course you are an employee of the corporation, and your goal as a team leader is to have the most high-performing team you can. That's a very different coaching box, you know, like frame that you're holding the coaching in, which is why this coaching to me was so much more resonant and I wanted to pivot completely because in this type of coaching, I'm coaching the whole person and I don't care about what profits the company they work for is going to make. I'm free to care about them and I'm free to hold their interests at as the most prized thing in their life. And so it is just completely liberating when I do not have the framework of like what the corporate needs are and can focus completely on how can I help this person live their most joyous and aligned life.
It's very cool. Like, so one of the things we talked about before, and it might be slightly off topic, but I think it's kind of similar to what we're talking about is like, we had talked as you were going through, you know, your training and the things that you were learning and the different, you know, like, obviously this is very different than corporate. And I think that's a great like perspective to have. So people know that like you're not coaching them to do this one thing to make them, you're like looking at the whole like big picture and, you know, really getting in there and like working with that next level to get them to level up, like not just in a specific job, but like in life, like that's in a life. Very different perspective. Right. Yeah. So we talked about like human universal truths at some point, you and I have talked about that. And I know that this was something that you focus on in your coaching. So in this space, is that what you're looking for to like level people up and work with them? Or what is your version of those things?
I think the goal of coaching is not to eliminate those universal human truths because they are just part of us and we all have them. And so I think the goal of coaching is to bring awareness to them so that people understand, you know, what are their fears and then how are their fears, insecurities, lack of confidence blocking them? Because those are usually, right, the blockers for what's keeping us from doing the thing we really are yearning for in life. And then helping them to find different tactics and strategies to remove those or at least suppress them so that we can listen to the voice that isn't as fearful, it isn't as negative, isn't as doubting. So that we have open possibility. And the goal of coaching is to have like, see that possibilities are not in, you know, they're much bigger than you thought that they were. And that you can try to do the thing that you really want to do. And it might be hard and you might fail, but that's okay because you're going to try because you want to try.
So I know we touched on this, but I just want to really drill home this point. Like therapy and coaching are different things.
Totally so, different.
Will you just explain to the audience, like, what is the main difference between them?
Yeah. Therapy is really a going back in time with a professional who understands all of the nuances of mental health. And they're exploring with you things that happened in your past to influence who you are in the present. And things that particularly trauma, both like big T trauma, like something really horrible, your house burned down when you were a child, and small T trauma, you know, things that have, you had a really bad relationship with a leader at work. It was very toxic, you know, which I suppose can be big T trauma too.
Depends
upon the person. Totally. Whereas coaching is a, what do you want? What's going on in your life right now? And what do you want to shift? What do you want to transform in your life? Where are you blocking yourself? Where are you shut down and closed off so that you think you can't do the things in life that you're really yearning for? It's like, you know, what are you yearning for in your life more than anything else? What's keeping you from doing that? And what are steps you can take and perspectives you can have to get you to be able to move forward?
That's very cool. So thank you for clarifying that for us. Well, Liz, it was awesome having you on. So tell us about what you're working on, where people can find you, who and what types of people you like to coach. Like, tell us a little bit more about that and your business.
Okay. So I like to coach a range of people. I think the key is, like, I will work with anyone who's open to change and who wants their life to be transformed in some way and feel like be able to have possibilities that they don't currently think they have. And you can reach me at platypus-coaching.net is my website. And I love working with people who just know that they want something to be different. And it can be, you know, whether it's in your career, your personal life, your family life, those things are all interconnected. When something's not really working out in one of those places, it really bleeds into the other areas. And so it's, you know, that's why we look at the whole person.
Liz's information will also be down below in our information of this podcast. So her website will be there. Her direct email will be there. And we're super happy to share. If you have questions for Liz, you should directly question her at her email. Thank you, Liz, so much for coming on. We're so happy to have had you.